It's Excellent Educators Day on MyFM. I'm joined by Charlotte Cottenham Isaiah, an elementary school teacher at Highview Public School in Pembroke. So my first question would be, how did you get involved in teaching?
Well, I would say that, first of all, I was the oldest of four children, so there's just a natural, you always seem to be in working with kids when you're the oldest. I was very involved in sports as a youngster, and I did actually teach some sports, skiing and gymnastics, when I was in high school. And my mom and my grandmother were both teachers. Now, my mom didn't teach after she got married. My grandmother did teach till she retired, and I had a lot of influences, and I really thought I did want to be a teacher. And when I got to university, sort of when you needed to kind of decide around third year, there were absolutely no jobs in teaching, and I got discouraged and took a different path, and went on to, after I finished my degree, I went to South America for a year with a friend, and our goal was to learn to speak Spanish. And so we had a variety of experiences there and traveling around, and I ended up moving there, actually, not long after I came back from our trip. And I moved there and learned to speak some other languages and worked in Brazil and lived there for about 5 years, got married. And when it was time to have kids, I came back to Canada. We came back to Canada and was kind of fell into social work then. And that was great because I was working with youth in the Columbus House programs. And I really enjoyed working with the youth, and we had lots of high school programs that over the years that I got involved with, and things were going great. But on the side, I was teaching Spanish at the college to adults in the continuing ed department in the evenings, and that's when I remembered, oh yeah, this is what you really wanted to do. You had planned on being a teacher, and I was really enjoying it. So I went back to school the year I turned 40. And became an elementary school teacher, and got a job right away when I graduated from Teachers College. And I haven't, this is my 17th year of teaching since then. So I'm telling you my age without telling you my age.
Well, that's truly an amazing story. And I guess one that not a lot of people can say they made that career change later in life like that. That's great to hear. And I guess, how did you end up moving here to the Pembroke area and working at Highview Public School?
Well, I actually was raised in Pembroke and went to school here and high school here till I was 18. And then I moved to Hamilton, to McMaster. And as I mentioned, I was gone till the year I turned 30. So from about 18 till I was 30, I wasn't living here anymore. But I was, I'd come back here to see my family and to see friends and, summers and things like that, and summer jobs, things like that. But when it was time to have children, we moved back to Canada, and we had our first baby early. He was premature, and we were here when we had him, and we felt we had a lot of support here. And so we stayed, and that's why we're here. And now we feel very comfortable here, and this is where we family, this is where we raised our children, and now we have four grandchildren. So we're very happy to be back in the Valley. And my husband was a huge adjustment for him. He had to adjust to a new culture, language, being a dad. It was a huge adjustment for him, but I think he's very happy that we're here too.
That was going to be my next question. I guess, are you happy that you guys were able to make it back to Pembroke and be teaching in an area that you're originally from?
Yes, very much so. It feels extremely comfortable here. For example, the classroom I'm speaking to you from right now was my grade 2 class. So I, not only did I teach at Highview, but I came to Highview as a child at grade 6. So
it was a full circle.
That's for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess, what's your favorite part of teaching?
There's a lot of things that I like, Rudy. I do love the variety. Every day is different. Every student is different. Every year is different. Everything. I do love the variety. I also love the autonomy. You have a curriculum, but you can decide how it is that you want to teach it and how you want to, reach your students and engage your students. That's up to you. And I love that autonomy as well. And getting to know each kid and their strengths and, having a relationship with the kids. And of course you end up having a relationship with the families too sometimes. And the community, and so just those are the biggies.
Obviously, teaching, it's not an easy career, not for everybody. What are some of the more difficult and challenging parts of what you do?
You have to be prepared to put in lots of extra time. You have to be able to, work in the evenings, work on the weekends, and so you have to be dedicated. It's not just a job that, 9 to 5 or whatever. You have to be able to put in the extra time and be committed to that. And that sometimes is hard. So it's hard when you can't do sometimes some things in the evening or on the weekends that you wish you could do because you've got to finish your work. Or you've got to try. You almost feel like you never finish it. But I think another difficult, challenging thing for educators is obviously this last year has been being technologically savvy enough to educate online. And I think that's been a huge learning curve for teachers, educators, and it really has pushed us to learn a lot more. We had to learn a lot to be able to teach online.
So what have been some of the more difficult parts this year working with the pandemic?
I think I teach special education 50% of my day, and we do a lot of maybe less conventional things in our class that we couldn't do this year. And there are a lot of things that we really look forward to and that the kids really love and enjoy. And we were not allowed to do them this year. So whether it's cooking or baking or having a school-wide Halloween spook house that, every year my class is designed and planned and created this spook house that the whole school comes to, and they weren't allowed to do it this year, of course. And we visit the seniors at Care For for the last, this would have been our third year, fourth year maybe, going to visit the seniors, and we have a relationship with the seniors, and we haven't been able to go obviously for the last year. So it makes it a lot of the special things that we really look forward to in this class, we weren't able to do. Students feel, I think, it's challenging for them to adhere to all the protocols, but they're doing it. I'm very proud of them, for all the hand washing and the wearing the mask and keeping their distance and, following the new rules and things. They've done it, and it's been hard for them though. And I'm proud of them.
Keeping people engaged, probably not an easy task doing it through a computer screen, and especially with special ed students. So how do you keep the youth kind of engaged in learning when you're doing it from home or from wherever, and they're not with you in the same class?
Last year, the way that we were expected to deliver our program was different from this year. The expectations this year after Christmas were different than what we had in the spring. In the spring, we were all learning the technology, and we didn't have to do synchronous learning, although I did, and I was very happy to do it because I could see that it made a difference to kids to be able to see each other on the screen and interact with each other. And so I think that was something that I was so happy that our board had, they're called the TELTCs. They're the technological coaches for our board, and they were able to give us lessons and give us virtual seminars so that we could learn how to do what we needed to do. So when the students can see each other and they feel like they have each other to bounce ideas off of and work together with, so you can put them in breakout rooms and they can work together on whatever tasks that you're working on. I think that really has helped. So this year we were all expected to do that, and it was a lot better. And the kids enjoyed the online learning a lot more for the few weeks after Christmas that we had to do that. Having said that, my spec ed class was allowed to return in person on the 13th of January. So even though the rest of the school was not here, they were here. And so we did it. We did try our online time for the 7 or 8 days before that. It was more difficult because the literacy skills are lower. And so it's much more difficult for the students to do some of the assignments that you might have hoped they could do and things like that, because you're not in person with them. And anyway, but it was great that we could come back to in-person learning. One more thing I'm going to say that's very tough when you're doing online learning, Rudy, is that you don't really move. You don't, you know, you're sitting, teachers are used to moving around the classroom and being engaged with their students, and you hardly sit, right? And when you are online learning, you only sit. So that was an adjustment for all of us, just, you know, to be so sedentary. And that was definitely a disadvantage.
No, you don't even think about that, because you have teachers always up on their feet in front of the classrooms, walking around, going through the students. So that's funny. I didn't even think about that. So I guess my last question for you would be, for anybody interested in a similar career path or getting involved in education, working with children, what advice would you have for them?
I think to have a calling in teaching, elementary school teaching for sure, you need to have a kind heart and enjoy working with people. If you have a kind heart and you enjoy working with people, I think you'll probably love teaching.